start a series of messages tonight. The title of the message series is Beyond Blessed. How many of you are blessed tonight? Amen. You know you're blessed tonight. But I want you to know that we can even go beyond being blessed, because God just heaps upon us blessing after blessing after blessing. And what I want to do tonight is, over the next several weeks that is my turn to preach, a pastor's preaching a series on Sunday morning on reigning in life, and we're continuing on the storms of life on Wednesday night. But I want to preach a series of messages. I've never preached this series before. This is so fresh, so hot off the press, that even while the praise team was singing, I was still jotting down some material. Amen. So this is fresh stuff from heaven. You might even get it while I'm on my feet tonight, but that's okay. How many of you know the anointing makes the difference? And despite the preparation, we ask God to speak in any way, no matter what He wants to say. That's what we want to say. Amen. But I want to talk to you over the next few weeks about Bible benedictions. Say that with me. Bible benedictions. Now, these are the recorded instances in the Word of God where blessings, instructions, and declarations of God's favor are pronounced in parting words. So I'll explain that more, but the Bible is full of what I call these benedictions. And so I want us to go to the very first one. And I'm going to preach over the ones I'm going to show you. And let's go to Numbers chapter 6, if you would stand tonight. And Brother Blue, I believe the monitors are just a little hot and it's given some feedback. So if you'll just adjust that for me tonight. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And just turn in your Bible and we'll read the very first benediction. The very first Bible benediction. And we're going to be looking at several of them. And tonight we start with the best and the first. Numbers chapter 6, if you're there, say amen. Turn around and see if your neighbor's got it tonight. Amen, amen. Praise God. All right, read it out loud with me. Give me a thumbs up when you got it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, unto his sons, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto thee, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Here it is. And I will bless thee. Father, thank you tonight that we are beyond blessed. And thank you, Lord, for these benedictions found throughout the Word of God that will speak over us life and prosperity and grace, and will charge us, and will thrill us, and will fill us. And I thank you for the anointing to preach the word tonight, and we give you praise for what shall be accomplished. Lord, may I decrease, and may you increase, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen, and turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. Now, what is a Bible benediction? The word benediction comes from two Latin words, bene, which means well, and dicere, which means to speak. So basically, when we say benediction, we're saying something well speak, or to speak well, or to bless, or to speak well of. The idea is, when we have a benediction, is to pronounce a blessing. Now, the Bible contains several blessings that have often been used in the closing of worship services. As a result, over the years, the word benediction, or the meaning of benediction, or the use of benediction, has always kind of come at the conclusion of a gathering. And so many churches, when I was growing up, before we left the service, when we had sung the songs and we had fellowshipped and we had worshiped in the offering, and the preacher had preached the word of God, and we gathered in the altar and our cups were full. But before we left the altar, when I was growing up, we would always have a prayer of benediction, or somebody would pronounce a benediction. Now, we kind of got away from that, and we have shed that over the years, and I'm not saying that we need to start doing that, but I want you to kind of understand that the benediction is the blessing at the conclusion of a gathering or a meeting, or it could be the summation of the essence of what someone is saying. Another word would be in conclusion, or we could say in benediction, the synonymous, because many times in the epistles, which we will consider toward the end of the epistle, in the last summation of the verses of Paul's letters, you will find these classic benedictions. And I want you to know that these things are powerful. They're scattered throughout the Word of God. I wish I could take time to preach on every last one of them. I'm only going to highlight a few of them. It's sort of like credits at the end of a movie. You've had the movie, and then at the end of the movie, there's credits that gives you information and details. Maybe not so much blessing. Usually when the credits roll, we're ready to roll as well. Amen. But you'd be surprised what you could learn about the movie if you will watch the credits. In fact, it kind of reminds me of when your mother or when your wife goes out the door to work, or vice versa, when your husband goes out. I can see Sister Teresa, First Lady, as Pastor Jerry gets ready to go to Falcon tomorrow on an important meeting with our bishop and taking care of conference business. And as he's leaving out, I can see her at the door saying, "Goodbye, honey. The Lord bless you, sweetie. I pray you have a safe travel." You know what she's really doing? She's giving him a benediction. She's blessing him with favor and saying, "Honey, you just come on back home. Don't stay too long. I got a big kiss waiting for you, and I'm going to have some food cooked for you." I'm really feeling inspired right now, Sister First Lady. Amen. That's a benediction. How many of you give a benediction when your loved ones go down the road? Can you say amen? And you see, I thought about this. This is putting it in the terminology of today. Really, a benediction is almost like a tweet in a good sense. Now, we know our president can send out some very tough tweets, can he? And some very, very strong tweets. But if God were on Twitter, I believe every now and then he would tweet something. And if he tweeted something, it would be, I believe, these benedictions that we find. Let me give you those. I'm going to give you all eight that I'm going to preach on, and then I'm going to go back to the first one, and then we're going to have church tonight. Are we going to continue to have church until we say the benediction? Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? I believe he's up to something. Oh, hallelujah. First of all, there's the benediction of favor. Don't go to that one. But the second one we read is in Romans 15 and verse 13. This is what I call the benediction of hope. It says in Romans 15 and 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's the summation of the book of Romans. That's the benediction of hope. And I'm going to talk to you about that next time I preach. Then number three, there's the benediction of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. "The grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Oh, people don't believe in the Trinity. I'm going to preach on that and tell you there's the mystery, the ministry, and the majesty of the triune Godhead. And he wants to bless you coming in, and he wants to bless you going out. Can you say amen tonight? Then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, here's the benediction of Galatians, the book of Galatians. The letter says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." The Galatian church was dealing with legalism and Judaism. But he said, "No, it's not about legalism. It's about grace." And his benediction is the benediction of grace. Somebody shout grace. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, the fifth one, there is the benediction of peace. You think Paul is talking about the armor of God and putting on the whole armor of God and fighting the warfare. But I want you to know it's not a war in the sense of being weary. He closes that epistle with a benediction of peace. Look at Ephesians 6 and 23. "Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24, "And grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." And then we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the benediction of hope. Hope. They were worried about death. They were worried about their loved ones dying. And here's how he closes that epistle. And the very God of peace, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit. So I might even talk a little bit about sanctification in that benediction, because we need it when we leave and go out into the world. We need to be holy. Hallelujah. That your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who will do it. How many of you would like that kind of benediction, that no matter what you do, it's not you, it's the Lord doing it through you? Can you say amen? Amen? Then in Hebrews, my favorite, this is the one that got me started on this about 2 years ago. I've been simmering on this for 2 years. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, now, somebody say now. Now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd and shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen. That's the benediction of empowerment. And then Jude, the last one, Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 24 says, now unto him, are you there? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and my goodness and power both now and forever. Come on, stand on your feet and let's give the Lord a standing ovation. Amen and amen. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. The Lord is blessing me. I am beyond blessed. Oh, he's got might and power and dominion. And I stand by the grace of God. Shout it. Glorify the Lord that he has blessed us tonight. Amen. High five somebody and tell them tonight, you are blessed tonight. You may be seated. Now, Bible benedictions beyond the blessing or beyond blessed. And we come to the first one tonight. And I call it the benediction of favor. We believe in the favor of God. I know things look impossible, but remember that with Mary, she had never been with a man. Thank the Lord, she was pure and she was holy in her consecration. And that is something we should teach our young people, that they should remain consecrated and holy until their blessed wedding evening, because it is then that they can glorify God and save themselves of a lot of heartache, trouble, sin, and debauchery, and repercussions. But she had never known a man, and yet God said, you are going to have the Son of God. She said, how can this thing be? And the Bible says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest. We can just shorten that, as Bishop Leggett preached many years ago. Just how? The Holy Ghost. How are you going to do this? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. How are we going to take this city? How are we going to see Sister Judy Meeks healed? How are we going to see our loved ones brought back into? I'll tell you how. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Brother, when the Holy Ghost comes upon a church, mighty things happen. When the Holy Ghost comes upon a mom and a dad, mighty things happen. When a Holy Ghost comes upon a land, there is revival in the land. And God, the angel looked at Mary and said, you are blessed and highly favored of God. Give the Lord another hand of praise if you're blessed and highly favored of God. You see, here we find the benediction of God's favor. Go back to Numbers and stay on that with me, my brother, tonight. Say to the children of Israel, and the Lord said to Moses, verse 22 of Numbers 6, 22. Just give me a thumbs up when you're ready. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Now the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. Listen to me tonight. We say it, but let it sink into your spirit. And I'm having to struggle with this in my own life and some things that don't add up and some things that I might not be experiencing that I had wanted to and had believed God for. But the Lord reminded me, I'm blessing you. And I want to bless it. You don't have to twist his arm. You don't have to be perfect. Not in your deeds. None of us would measure up. He said, I want to bless them. They've been through 400 years of slavery. They've been whipped on the back. They've been denied food. They've been denied rights. But I have brought them up with a strong arm. And in number six, they are preparing to enter into the promised land. And brother and sister, please understand, God is saying this: I have blessed you before. Oh, have you been blessed before this night? Has he blessed you when he saved you? Has he blessed you when he sanctified you? Has he blessed you when he filled you with the Holy Ghost? Has he blessed you? But listen, he doesn't just want to bless us back then. He said, I want to keep on blessing. I want to bless my people. Please understand, God is a good God, and he wants to bless us. He wants us to fill us and to thrill us. We're not having to force him to do it. He's like, I want to bless them, and this is what I want to do to get it to them. Turn around and tell somebody, he wants to bless me. Now tell somebody, he wants to bless you. You will bless the children. Bless them. There's such a power in blessing that you know that even if you bless your enemy, it might turn your enemy around. People say, bless my enemy. I ain't going to do that. They messed me up. They swindled me. They are hard on me. They did something wrong to me. But let me tell you something. Number one, forgive them. And number two, bless them. And I don't, you want to play with their mind? Bless them in the name of the Lord. I want you to know there's power in the blessing. I feel like camping right there. Get that in your spirit. He wants to bless. You shall bless the children of Israel. Notice he said by saying something to them. This was a spoken prophetic word. The benedictions should be spoken. They need to be repeated. There's death and life in the power of your tongue. You need to quit running people down. You need to quit talking things down. You need to quit talking bad and tweeting bad and Facebooking. You need to be careful that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, for the Lord hears and the Lord sees, and I want to bless and curse not. There's something you need to speak over your children. You need to speak over your spouse. You need to speak over your... You know what? I work at Best Buy, but I started calling it Blessed Buy. And believe it or not, we've been making budget all the time. Amen. Can you give the Lord a praise tonight? But why? Because I'm blessing them. By the way, come on out and see us because we need sales too. Amen. Listen, this is the benediction of favor. The benediction of favor. Number one, the source. The Lord. That's the source. Somebody say the source. Verse number 24. The Lord bless thee. Not your job. We don't serve Job Jireh. We serve Jehovah Jireh. Man, there's people like, man, I can't do nothing in the church. I got to work. Let me tell you something. We do have to work. And sometimes I've had to work on a Sunday. And recently I've had to pull my weight and to be a part of it. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm here to tell you, you can't tell me God's blessed you so much with work, so much that you have to neglect his house. Oh, it got mighty quiet in here. And I'm preaching to the choir, because you Sunday night folks, that doesn't apply to you. I'm talking to the folks that might listen on Facebook 3 weeks from tonight. Amen, somebody. Listen, it's not Job Jireh. It's not people Jireh. It's not people Jireh. It's not somebody. Listen, we need to be connected to the right people. We need to honor those who serve above us and with us, and even those who serve, I hate to use the word underneath us, but on the level below us. We need to honor people and respect people. But listen, it is not people that's going to get you to where you need to get. It's the Lord, amen, working through those people. So if you get Jesus right and the Lord right, God will put people in your life that'll help you get to where he wants you to. Say to the people, amen, it's not the people that's going to bless you. It's to the people that God's going to get his blessing. Can you say amen? He didn't say your experiences bless thee. Because some of us have some tough experiences. Some of us have come through debt. Some of us have come through disease. Some have come through discontent. Some have come through distress. Did you hear what I said? Some have had the experiences of debt. You know what debt is. Debt means you owe more money than you can afford to pay. Now, don't look guilty right now. Amen. Debt is doing everything but tithing. D-E-B-T, right? Hello. There are people that run up credit cards and get stuff that you go to the car lot and you can only afford $300 a month, and he sells you up to $500 a month. Say, I would never do that at Blessed Buy. Amen. But let me just tell you something, that people struggle with debt. But I'm here to tell you, if you have been struggling with the experience of debt and you think, man, I can't ever tithe, I can't ever give, let me tell you, the Lord bless you. And he can turn that debt around. You can go from owing money to sowing money. And I want you to know you need to start sowing now, because it's through sowing that you're going to, my God, that you're going to reap a harvest, and God's going to bless. The Lord bless you. If you've been in debt, if you've been in distress, say amen. You know, we're living in that day. We're living in that day. And discontent. Now, I'm just telling you about those people that I didn't have time to put in this sermon because it's hot off the press. But old King David, when he was just anointed but not yet appointed, he couldn't get the soldiers of the kingdom. He couldn't get the great people. All he had was a bunch of ragtags, who the Bible described them like this: the wealthy, the healthy, and the greatest. No, he didn't get the wealthy and the healthy and the greatest. He got those who were debt, distressed, and in discontent. Man, they were frustrated and disorganized and discombobulated. And that was a hodgepodge group of guys who were down on their luck. But they knew something was, David said, listen, guys, I'm anointed and God has called me. And if you'll come and join me, I don't know when or where, but I can bless you as you serve the Lord and as we fight the devil together. And I want to tell you, those in debt and distress and discontent, they turned around and the Lord blessed them and they became the mighty men of David. And they could fight on the left hand and on the right. One of them could take 800 Philistines down. They were some mean mama jamas. I'm here to tell you, you didn't mess with David's mighty men. They didn't start out like that, but the Lord blessed them. The Lord will do it. He is able. Lift your hand tonight. The Lord, he is the source of our blessing. Not the bank, not the pope, not the bishop, not the president, not the resident. Somebody shout, the Lord is. He didn't say, a Lord bless you and keep you. He said, who? There's only one God. And Allah is not his name. Do not block that out of Facebook. Don't shut the cameras down. I'm going to boldly say from the Westmoreland pulpit, there is no God but the Lord. His name is Father. He has an eternal Son named Jesus Christ who died, was rose again. These benedictions tell us that. And a blessed Holy Spirit. His name is Jesus. There is only one God. Let's celebrate it. Let's praise Him because He wants to bless His people. The source. Now look at the security. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Security. You know, Donald Trump, our wonderful, godly president. Well, he might not be godly just yet, but we're praying for him. Amen. But he is God-minded. Amen. He's going to appoint a judge on the Supreme Court that will stand for life and not death. And we're talking about Roe versus Wade. Everybody's in panic because we're about to, in one minute, they're all concerned about babies at the border, which they should be, and I'm for that. They don't need to be separated from their parents. We agree with that. But these same people who are for babies at the border will also stand on a mountain heap of aborted babies for 35 years. It's called hypocrisy. Well, I talked with someone not long ago, one of these young people I work with, and they're good people, and they said, no, a baby in the womb is not a living person, because if you took it away from its mother, it would die. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Well, what about an old person who's on life support? If you take him off life support, these machines, then, you know, we do it all the time and they die. I said, so you're calling your mama a machine, a life support, you know, a little monitor? And they didn't like that, I promise you. But no, the truth of the matter is there's either a God or not. Say amen. And life doesn't start out of the mother's belly. The life starts the very minute that conception takes place. I don't know how a person was conceived through the man and the woman. It could have been a bad situation. It could have been whatever. But let me tell you, whatever the situation it was, that conception didn't come from mom and dad. It came through mom and dad because God brought the life. And we believe that He is the source of life. Say amen. You didn't say amen loud enough. I'm just kidding. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. And President Trump, you know, he has the Secret Service, right? You know, they've got the coats on, straight faces, the glasses. There's a man in a blue shirt back there with his arms folded. Looks like he wants to go to Cracker Barrel. Amen. Somebody's back there on Facebook. No, I'm just kidding. I'm talking about the Secret Service. I'm talking about men in black. I'm talking about when he gets out of the car, there's about six of them surrounding him. And before he even gets to a place, I'm getting a blessing out of my own sermon tonight. Before he even goes to somewhere, they send about 100 of them ahead of him. And they look under every rug. And they open every closet door. And they secure the buildings. Oh, I'm here to tell you, say, well, I don't have that kind of security detail. Oh, really? The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear Him. My brother, Donald Trump don't have nothing over the child of God. And you don't need 20 angels anyway, because God's omnipresent. And the Bible says just one angel took out 185,000 people in one little lift of his finger. My God, I am blessed and highly, I am secure. The Lord keep you. Now, I believe that we should use safety and concern, and we should lock our doors. We shouldn't, you know, tempt the Lord. There's some people that feel like they should carry a weapon because people are so dangerous, and I'm not against that at all. But I'm just telling you, at the end of the day, the Lord will keep you, and the Lord will be with you. And I'll tell you, if He allows you to be handed over to the devil and you become a martyr, I want you to know, like the Apostle Paul, if He allows that to happen, you still are being kept. Be faithful unto the hour of death. Jesus told those in the church at Revelation, and fear thou not, for I will give you a crown of life, because the Lord will bless you and keep you in life, and He'll keep you over yonder glory. He will keep you across that chilly Jordan. When I lay my head in the gold grave, I'm not being left alone. I'm being not buried, but carried, because the Lord is going to keep me in life, and He's going to keep me for all eternity safe in the Father's hand. Amen. I'm beyond blessed. Amen. That's the security. He's talking to people that are about to go into the dangerous land of Canaan, where they have walls, military. These people have no army. And He said, you tell them, don't be afraid. The Lord will bless you, and the Lord will keep you. And they conquered the enemy, and they possessed the land. Somebody say amen tonight. And then it says in verse 23, go to verse 23, and I'll bring this to a close sometime between now and midnight. Amen. Amen. Go to verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Go to 25. Now watch this. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. Make His face to shine upon thee. Number one, His face shines to us. And then He shines through us. I'm going to talk about that. Make His face to shine upon them. His face his face. God told Moses, no man shall see my face and live. And Moses is like, wait a minute. You're going to make your face to shine upon us? God said, yes. Maybe not in all of my unveiled glory, for no man can see that without dying. This flesh can't handle it. But I want you to know that his face is to us. I like it like this. Are y'all ready for this? I have God's full attention. Have you married couples ever been in a conversation with your spouse? And as you were describing the details of the day, all of a sudden, ladies, you would just stop for a moment, catch your breath, and realize that though your husband is looking at you, and though he might be listening to you, he does not have your full attention. You know, that happened to me at lunch today. That's why I know this. Because why is it that at every restaurant that you go to, that wherever you sit, there is a television set somewhere within eye distance? And so why my wife, excuse me, I got a call coming in. It's the North Carolina Conference. Brother Jerry, you might want to take this. Amen. But listen, why is it that when I'm in that restaurant and I'm sitting there and my wife, she's trying to explain something to me and something caught my, and she said, I don't have your full attention. Man, I felt bad. I said, oh, yeah, you do, you do. And I promise you, I heard her out. Amen. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about praying at night, Brother Ray. Oh, God, touch my wife, Judy. You don't have to. God, are you listening to me? Are you busy taking care of somebody else? Brother Ray, let me tell you something tonight. I believe the Lord sent you here to hear this. You have God's full attention. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And he's making his face to shine upon thee. Somebody say amen tonight. The Lord, and listen, we are his child. This is sonship. Point number one. Point number one was the source, the Lord, the security, keep thee. And number three, this is sonship. We are his child. Because let me tell you something. He makes his face to shine to us. But also, let's talk about that word shine for a minute. Are y'all still with me tonight? Say amen. The word shine. He makes his face to shine upon us. Now, you might miss that. But do you know that really, when Moses prayed in the presence of the Lord for a long time, and he came down to the people, how many of you remember that his face shone? You remember he had to put a veil over his face because people would see a glow. I have seen men like that. Elmer Mooring, who is Kevin Mooring's father. The first time I went to revival at Spring Hope Pentecostal Holiness Church, when I was with Steve Edmondson, he in a Lincoln Town Car longer than this stage, and I rode in that back seat with my great grandmother and Steve. He was just a young evangelist, and we went up to Spring Hope, and when we opened the door to the church, we heard a heavenly man. It sounded like a man from another world was praying. And the prayers filled that church. Automatically, we walked in the door and felt the power. And brother, we had Holy Ghost. I mean, three or four nights down there. He was little back then, playing them drums, bouncing up and down. And that's the first time I met Kevin Moore. And then we went to Southern Nash together. He graduated a year behind me. But I'm here to tell you, I would see Elmer Moore, and there were times I saw his face shine with the glory of God. Listen to me tonight. Friends, we can get close to God, that he can shine not only to us, but he can shine through us. Hallelujah. Oh, I want him to shine through me at Best Buy. I want him to shine through me when I go to the hospital. I want him to shine through my brother here at the Waffle House. One time, and I'm an East Carolina graduate, thank you. Please bear that in mind. But I was, how in the world, the moon shines so bright some of these summer nights. And one day I was out there looking at that moon, and I'm like, you know, the moon, how does it get its light? How do we see the moon? It's nothing. It's a piece of rock up there. And then it hit me. Actually, what hit me was it hit the moon. We can't see the sun at night, can we? But the sun is so bright. Now, this is elementary. I know all of you passed this in kindergarten or first grade. It took me about 12 to figure this one out. But y'all with me tonight. The sun and its brightness cast that light. And the light hits that old rock of a moon with all those holes and messed up little rock. And that little old piece of rock at night when I'm driving my car and I look out. You know what I'm seeing? I'm not seeing the moon. I'm seeing the sun reflected off of the moon. And that's the way we are to be as Christians. We ought to be in the presence of the Lord, and that He shines upon us. And that when we go into the world, they don't just see us when we worship and sing and play, and when we preach and when we witness, but they see the shining light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. Give Him a hand of praise tonight. I mentioned this, that's the sharing. The sonship is that there are people who, when they have children, you can see the resemblance of the child. Michelle Meeks, when I see her, she looks just like Ray Meeks. When I see Jennifer, I can see Sister Judy. And I can see in Pam, his oldest daughter, I think looks a lot like Brother Ray as well. And your children, Brother Allen, I can see Sister Edna in him as well. And different children. Sometimes Jennifer, Joyner, sometimes I'll be talking with her. And the way she'll position her eyes, I said, that's Jerry Nelson shining through her. Come on now. Amen. This tells me I'm a son of God. This tells me that when you, listen, Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the, and I want people to say, Brother Ricky, when I see you, I don't see you, I see the Father through sonship, through sharing. Folks, we are blessed to be a blessing. Say that with me. I am blessed to be a blessing. The Lord's not just going to bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you for you not to worry about lost souls, for you to never invite somebody to church. My friend, if God is shining on you, if God has caused you to be His son, if His resemblance is in your face, it's for a reason. You are blessed to be a blessing, to reach out and return the favor. Somebody say, I want to return the favor. Do it. And somebody say amen tonight. And then finally, we have the source, the Lord. The security, He keeps us. The sonship, His face shining. The sharing, shining on us and through us. And finally tonight, the sufficiency. Or not finally, there's one more. The sufficiency. The Lord be gracious unto thee. Somebody thank God for amazing grace. Let me tell you, that's where the blessing is. Because His grace, somebody say it with me, is. I can't make it without grace. The standard's too high. The duty is too daunting. The mountain is too imposing. There's no way in my best day that I could ever be all that I want to be or even all that I need to be. But here's the good news. You never will be. Because if you ever were, it's you. And we know what you will do eventually. We'll all mess up. Amen. The Lord be gracious today. Somebody say grace. Paul was a murderer, but he became a preacher through the grace of God. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. I do believe in the power of sanctification. I do believe in the death of the old man and the liberating power of the new man. But I also believe that we're to die daily and sanctify ourselves according to the Scriptures. And I also know that we live in a world of sin, and that we not only will never be rid of our human nature. You say, how did Adam sin? He never had a sin nature. He was a human. And as humans, we are all weak. This is flesh. As our pastor has said, flesh is flesh. No matter whose bones is on. Can I get a witness out there? But friend, when we fall, His grace is there to forgive. If any man sin, listen to me, Christian. If you are a Christian, you know you are a Christian by this, that you can't sin and it not hurt your feelings a little bit or a lot of bit. If you even say something wrong. I remember I went to Taco Bell one time in Greenville and they got my order wrong. And I said, ma'am, I needed, I don't know, soft tacos. You gave me the crunchy tacos. And she looked at me and she said, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Oh, man, my sanctified self kicked in, unsanctified. I looked at her. I took that food, Brother Philip. I put it back in that window. And I said, oh, yes, you can. And she fixed the order. But I didn't need to eat. I was tore all to pieces. And what was funny about it was the next Sunday night, I had the, this was an African-American young lady. And it would have been the same if it were European or Asian. It didn't matter. I was just mad at the person. It didn't matter the skin color. But that Sunday night, I had invited Stacy Hilliard and his church from Greenville to come to Kinston and preach. And I thought, oh, my God, she's probably in the choir. I guarantee you, I'll look out and I'll see that girl and all she's going to see is me shoving those tacos. And you know what? We thank God his grace is sufficient. Amen. And I ask the Lord to forgive me. Folks, I want to listen, when things go wrong, we're going to mess up. But God will forgive us. And the next time that happened, I just smiled and said, well, what, you know, I learned the lesson. Thank God for his grace. Amen. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and kind he must be because he's still working on me. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious. Can you celebrate his grace? Can you experience his grace? Hey, can you extend his grace? So you be patient with others. Can I get a witness out there? Well, brother so-and-so, he doesn't have what I have. Well, bless God, help him to get what you got. Amen. And we're so quick to see each other's faults that we don't celebrate the great good that every person can make. Amen. That was a very weak amen. But I'm going to move on because it's time to move on. And then finally, as a close, not only do we have the source, the Lord, the security, keep you, the sonship and the sharing, make his face to shine upon you and the sufficiency and be gracious unto thee. Finally, verse 26, finally, can we go to that? Verse 26, and give thee peace. When we go through these Bible benedictions, you're going to see that peace is a recurring theme. And really, this ties it all together. Amen. You can't help but have peace if you know he's the source. You can't help but have peace and you have security and have that secret service detail. You can't help but have peace knowing you're a son and a son than an heir. You can't help but have peace when you share and people respond. And when you have grace, oh, friend, what are you troubled about tonight? What are you worried about tonight? You know, you need to have peace of mind. Say that with me. Peace of mind. In Costa Rica, there's a university of peace. And people are trying to search for peace. The United Nations was formed to bring peace into this world. But my friend, we don't know peace until we know the Prince of Peace. Would you stand with me tonight? And Brother Wilson, if you'll come. And I want to close with this thought. And I hope this benediction, this one tonight and the seven more to come, I hope that they will bring a personal revival in your spirit. Because as we work our way through them, I believe you're going to see God work in a mighty way. But this is I save the best for the last. This is because Brother James Leggett taught me to put a good ending on a good sermon. So in honor of my bishop, Brother Leggett, I'm going to end with a good one, Bishop. Y'all ready for the good one? You see, the Bible was not written in ink. Go back, Brother Blue, if you don't mind. And thank you, Brother Blue. He's doing such a great job. Go back to verse 24. Give me a thumbs up when you got it. The Bible was not written in English. You know that. It was written in Greek. It was first read by the author who wrote the New Testament was Greek. But the Old Testament was written in what language? Does anybody know? Hebrew. That's our coffee shop. Hebrews. Amen. Did you catch that? All right. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And really, in the English, it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Bless you, keep you. And let's go home. Let's watch a movie. No. In the Hebrew, here's what it really says in the Hebrew. It says this. Are you ready? It says, the Lord will keep on blessing you and keeping you. My friend, I want to close with that tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come, and I'm going to ask our pastor. I want to give him the honor as the shepherd of our flock, as the head of this house. I believe in that powerful prophetic blessing of the shepherd. And I want him to speak these words as our pastor over this congregation. I'm going to join in with you. But I want you to understand that when it says the Lord bless thee and keep thee, what it really means is this. God is saying, I want to keep on blessing you. I want to keep on praise. I'm getting tongue-tied with God. I want to keep on fulfilling your needs. I want to keep on meeting your needs. I want to keep on blessing. I want to keep on protecting. Oh, my friend, for all eternity, we're going to be experiencing this benediction. For ages to come, he's going to keep on and on and on, ceaseless, dateless, timeless, in the joys of the Lord for today, tomorrow, for your need, next year, next month. Please be assured, he wants to keep on blessing you. Lift your hand and receive that blessing tonight. Amen. We thank you tonight for that. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace. Come on, sing it. He's blessing us tonight. He's blessing us. That floods my soul. Something. Verse to it. Touching you tonight. Come on, reach up and touch him. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Would you like to be blessed even more? Would you want that spoken over your life? If you do, I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to let's come to the front. And if you can, let's come all the way to the front. I'm going to ask our pastor to speak this benediction. But now, when he speaks this, I don't want you to think that's the very end of the service. I think that's why we quit doing it. Really, in a Pentecostal church, we never close the service. Really. That's one reason why we just let people kind of go on out. We don't like to close it because we know the Lord never closes. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. But I believe there's power in these benedictions. I believe there's healing in these benedictions. I believe there's grace and forgiveness. I believe there's hope. I believe there's a call to action. Because listen to me. Before our pastor comes, truly, what a benediction is supposed to do is to say, hey, we've ended the service here. Now you go and carry this out into the world. That's what the benediction was really supposed to be. In other words, don't just stop. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you, make his faith as you go to Best Buy, as you go to Firestone, as you go to the doctor's office tomorrow. So isn't that what it's all about? That really the service really doesn't start until we go out the door. Can I get a witness? I'm going to say that again. I said, we think of the service from 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock to 7:30. Really, the service is from 7. Whenever we finish, the service starts the minute you get in your car and you head out into the world. Amen. And the pastor's praying for it. We're believing it that this year he's going to send the harvest. He's already brought restoration. This morning, I counted 12 people, 12, that were sitting in this congregation who'd come through our connection ministry, that were touched through that. And I believe it's just the groundwork of more to come. Pastor, we honor you tonight. Let's give our pastor honor tonight. Let's give the Lord a praise for the gift that we have. The Bible says he gave gifts unto men. And what were they? The apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Pastor and his wife are a gift to us. And thank God for our pastor. I would like for you, pastor, to take it from here. And would you like the scripture pulled up so you can read it? Or do you know it by heart? I'm sure you'll try to say it.
I want to ask a question before I pronounce the blessing. How many people in here can tell me what is the last thing you read before you leave through those main doors coming into our church? What does it say up over the door? You're now entering your harvest field. You're blessed. This is going to be an exciting series. I like it. And you know what I realized while you were preaching? That we have had a benediction here since 2005. Can anybody tell me what it is? Look at three people and tell them what? You're blessed and highly favored of God. We've been doing that since 2005. So we do have a benediction, but we just have everybody do it. But I like what God told Moses. God had chosen Moses to lead his people. And then he said, Moses, I want you to have Aaron, the priest, pronounce a blessing upon the people. It's a sixfold blessing. You go home and read it again because you need to get a hold of this real good. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, getting along about verse 23. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There's six blessings there. That's why we call it the sixfold blessing. And then God told, if you recall in his sermon, he said, I want you to have Aaron, the priest, I want you to have him put my name upon the people, and I will bless them. So in the name above every name, and as the pastor of this church, I put the name of Jesus upon you. And now I want you to look at three people and tell them, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 blessed. Hallelujah. Highly favored of God.